Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Don Adcock, the Executive Director of the Army IT Agency. Don, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for being here, Jason. It's a pleasure to have you.
Well, let's start with some basics now. The Army IT Agency, when I did some research about what you guys do, I was kind of surprised. I was thinking, well, isn't this the purview of the Army Chief Information Officer? So let's start with some basics. What is the mission of the Information Technology Agency within the Army's Office of the Administrative Assistant?
The Information Technology Agency's mission really is to provide a reliable, secure, and cost-efficient information technology services to the Department of Defense community within the National Capital Region and some organizations that fall just outside of the NCR. Really, the Pentagon DoD community relies on ITA to deliver a comprehensive suite of tools and technologies to allow them to perform their very best in supporting the warfighter and the department.
Because I know there's also a Pentagon CIO who's in charge of the technology within the Pentagon. So you guys are doing obviously separate things because you're a separate office. Your focus is just around the Army, or is your focus on the Army and other services and, as you mentioned, the National Capital Region?
There are several CIOs within the Pentagon. There's a CIO for WHS, there's a CIO for OSD, and then there's a DOD CIO, and there's also an Army CIO. Really, the key differences are ITA's mission is to support and defend the Pentagon and the surrounding National Capital Region and its networks, and to sort of create an environment where both IT innovation and services empowers the joint DOD community within the NCR. And so that differs from like the Army CIO, who really they focus on supporting and defending the Army's networks and making sure that IT innovations and services empower the Army and then the Army mission support partners.
Why then is this under the Army versus under the Pentagon or OSD or somebody else?
So Army has the executive agency for single agency manager for IT within the Pentagon and the National Capital Region. They've had it for several years now and has been the IT provider of choice within the National Capital Region on behalf of the Department of Defense.
So it's just one of those decisions someone made some time ago and now you get to make that mission happen, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Now you mentioned the Army CIO. Now, it's funny because I just did an interview with Lieutenant General Sorensen. It's running a couple weeks ago, and he talked a lot about what he's doing to support the warfighter. Now, your, obviously, mission is a lot different than what he does. You mentioned a little bit about it. Do you work closely with him in terms of around standards and objectives, or are you kind of, even though you're underneath the Army, you're kind of separate because of where you focus?
We work very closely with Lieutenant General Sorensen and the Army G6 CIO staff. Because Army has the executive agency for IT within the Pentagon, we do follow some of their standards and guidelines. There is a Pentagon governance community as well, and we really are somewhat separate from Army CIO in the fact that we answer to the Pentagon governance community as well.
Who makes up that Pentagon governance community? Is it someone from the Navy, someone from the Marines, someone from OSD, DIA, some of the other agencies?
Absolutely. There are representatives. There's various boards, and the boards go everything from requirements, identification, and gathering to architecture all the way through resourcing and then a final go, no-go decision. And Pentagon governance community really is made up of all of the Department of Defense entities across the Pentagon, most of the tenants here in the Pentagon. And of course, the Pentagon isn't just the brick and mortar building. It's that extends throughout the National Capital Region.
So for instance, if someone wants to say, let's set up a wireless network, let's get some more storage, that may go through the Pentagon Governance Council. And then you as the ITA, Information Technology Agency, would make that happen. Is that kind of the way it works?
That's exactly how it works.
Okay, so then when we talk about the IT agency, you as this director of that agency, you're not so much supporting the agency itself. You're supporting this broader set of people, this broader set of organizations.
Correct. So I represent the Information Technology Agency to the Pentagon community, which is made up, as we just talked about, all of the services and the different DoD community entities that fall within the Pentagon footprint. But really, as the director of ITA, my goal is to not just do that and provide that liaison between the community and ITA, but to provide leadership, a clear focus and direction to ITA so that we can continue to deliver the most reliable, secure, cost-efficient IT services. Therefore, that allows the department to better service the warfighter and ensure that they have what they need to do their missions today and in the future.
In many ways, your organization is a services organization, very similar to how the Defense Information Systems Agency provides services, how the General Services Administration provides services to the civilian agencies. Is that the way you see yourselves?
Yeah, no, I actually do see the agency in the same scenario, same situation. You know, DISA is the DOD Information Service Agency for the Defense Department. My goal is to provide services to the DOD community here in the NCR.
And it's a huge amount of services, too. I mean, we'll get into some of your priorities, but when I did the research, I was surprised by how much. Go through some of them. What are some of your biggest areas that people look to ITA for in terms of services?
ITA, like you said, we offer a wide range, an array of services. For instance, we provide all of storage. We provide defense continuity. We provide Pentagon Telecommunication Center. The Department of Defense Telephone Operating Services report work for us. We also provide email network connectivity. We provide messaging services, email services, backup storage. So we also have a desktop community where we provide desktop services. Our biggest customer there is the Department of the Army, where we provide Tier 1 and Tier 2 support to them. We also do engineering, systems development and design, implementation of those things, information security. PenCert, which is the information assurance community, falls under the Information Technology Agency. So our services are very, very broad. They cover the entire scope of the information technology realm, if you will. And pretty much a soup-to-nuts environment of an IT organization.
Now, is this done on a fee-for-service basis, or because your role is to support the Pentagon and the services and the organizations within the Pentagon, they come to you and say, okay, this is what we need, and you look at it from that big, broad, okay, is this a single person's need or single organization's need, or is this something that everybody needs?
All of our services, we have a services catalog. It tells you what services we provide, how we provide those services, and how we go about understanding how to recoup costs for those services. So once we determine the level of services that you need, we do a cost estimate against that and present you with a total cost or estimated cost of what it would do to take us to actually do the work. And then we go ahead and deploy, if it's a mutual agreement, we go ahead and deploy the resources needed to make that happen.
So it is fee for service traditionally, as we know about through government.
Yeah, most of it is fee for service.
All right, so I got to ask my favorite question because you mentioned the word telecom. So GSA has their networks telecommunications contract. Do you guys fall under that, or is this something separate for the Pentagon that you guys do on your own?
No, we actually do fall under that. We have several contracts and contract vehicles that we use, and that is one of them to procure telecommunication services and a whole variety of telecommunication services, everything from voice over IP to traditional landline telephone services, pagers, Blackberries, that type of thing.
All right, very interesting. Learned a little bit about what you do. Now we're going to come back and talk about your priorities, but first we're going to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Don Adcock, the Executive Director of the Army's IT Agency.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Don Adcock, the Executive Director of the Army's Information Technology Agency. Now, Don, before break, we talked a lot about the mission of the IT agency. It's a service provider to the Pentagon at large. Let's talk about some of your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months. You're a new director of the ITA, so obviously you probably have some vision and some strategy that you want to go down.
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm really focused over the next 6 to 9 months on three major areas. To really fully answer the question, though, I got to sort of say, right now ITA is in the middle of an organizational transformation. We are realigning or transforming the organization organization and changing it from more of a business model where we're functionally aligned to an enterprise model where we're more services aligned. So with that said, over the next 6 to 9 months, my top priorities really are to ensure that the agency's transformation goals from the first iteration of the transformation are complete and have been successful, that they're at a standard and a level that we need them to be, and really set forth in motion the second phase of the transformation and the goals that are aligned with that. I also am working on delivering the agency's strategic vision and then letting the agency have that so that we can use it to guide us over the next 24 to 36 months in building the plan that supports that. And then lastly, the third area is to develop a program where we can migrate, modernize, and optimize the environment and therefore continue to eliminate like overlapping IT services across the agency.
So a lot of big visionary type ones. Let's start with the first one you mentioned, the transformation, changing the business model of how you work from a functional aligned to a service aligned. Explain what you mean by that.
Prior to about 18 months ago, the agency had many different service centers. Pentagon Telecommunication Center was one. The Defense Telephone Service Washington was one. Lots of different centers. And each one of those centers had a contingency within them that provided not only the basic function of the organization, but also things like contracting, security, servers, server maintenance, storage, backup, all of those types of things. So really what we're working on in the first phase was to identify those overlapping IT service areas and creating what we call enterprise operations, a second half to the agency, and realigning those services under enterprise operations. So now, today, after that 18-month transition period, what we have is an organization that allows them to focus on providing storage and not having to worry about procuring storage, securing storage. They work on the servers and the storage environment. And then I have enterprise operations who actually goes out and does contracting, human resources, security, both physical, operational, personnel, as well as information assurance. So it's really that first, you know, realignment of those types of services into one entity.
I'm seeing that a lot across government, the commoditization, if that's such a word, about certain services like storage, like HR, like contracting. Why do we need 5 contracting shops? Why can't we just have one that works with all the basically the mission areas? And where you need, yes, we need people that know how to do storage, but storage is storage. Why is it not different from one office to another? Is that kind of the thought process?
It really is. And when you have these overlapping IT services, it really makes your costs and your ability to implement change higher and difficult. So one of the reasons why I believe we're seeing that across the, not just the DoD community, but industry as well, is because it's exactly that. I want my mission areas focused on the mission, and I don't want them to have to be focused on providing extra things that fall outside of them being able to pay attention to doing what they do best, which is storage or email or help desk calls and things like that.
So is this transformation on the back end, meaning it's almost done, or are you in the middle? Where are you at with it?
Right now we're in the middle. So we just completed phase one. We're looking at those phase one milestones and objectives, making sure we actually did them correctly. There's some residual work that needs to be done there. And we're outlining the rest of phase two so that we can begin to implement that right now.
From a timing standpoint, do you foresee a change to be finished and still a year away, you're still 2 years away from really moving to that new business model of service focused?
I really think that we're definitely well on the path, and we are far more service focused today than we were a year or 2 years ago. To really get it completely finalized, I believe that we're about a year to 18 months away.
Are you seeing some best practices kind of coming up to the top? Are you seeing some lessons learned? Because I think there's several other agencies, not just within DoD, but around the government, who could say, you know, we got to do that same thing, or, you know, we're doing the same thing. And it's a tough road to hoe in many ways, because it's a culture change management issue as much as it's a change the way storage is here and security is there.
I do see a lot of best practices that are surfacing. Most of them are centered around, like you said, the cultural change and really the service customer end of it, providing a more total overarching customer approach to what you're doing. A lot of the technology is pretty standard. It's there's, you know, very good, solid technologies out there to perform these services. It's really bringing them in and integrating them and allowing your customer to have the environment that they need to continue to support the warfighter the best possible way.
GSA is calling it customer intimacy. You're seeing it in other agencies, National Business Center over at Interior. I think that's a central theme I'm seeing across all of government. And that's actually a good segue to your strategic vision. You say it's going to guide you over the next 2 to 3 years. Where are you at with the strategic vision? Is the old one a year old? Is it 5 years old? And talk about how you believe it's going to change from a strategic point of view. Obviously, it's going to be more service focused versus the old way.
The previous strategic vision is probably no more than about 2 years old. It started to change really when we became involved in the organizational transformation. And as they started to evolve that transition, what we found was that it started paving the way to do two things. One is that overarching customer experience, that from sort of a soup to nuts approach to what is the customer's experience when they engage with us, and what does that do to an organization? Because when you start looking at how a customer interacts with an agency or an organization, you start tracing how does it touch that agency, how do you start providing those services to the agency, and then what needs to change to help that overall experience. So the first part of that is really from the customer's perspective. The second part of the strategy is really from making sure that the technologies are there, that I have those technologies focused on what they do best. So to specifically answer your question, I think that the end goal of the strategy that we're building right now, it's almost finalized, and it really is taking us to that level of service provider where we are focused on providing services and improving the overarching customer experience.
Is this something from a strategic plan point of view, is this something that's been released to the public? Is this something that obviously vendors could use to understand how to provide services through you guys? Is it something that has to go through the governance council still? What's the next steps?
So once we have it locked down and we have a strategic vision that we can begin to articulate to the workforce and put into books or pamphlets or stuff like that, yeah, it will definitely be a tool that anyone interacting with the Information Technology Agency can use to understand where we're going, what path we're on, and how they can expect us to better our services and environment when they do business with us.
Let me jump over your third main priority, to migrate the program, to modernize, to optimize. It seems like it's all connected back to the other two as well. Obviously, you're doing that on purpose, which is always good. But talk about the plan around migration, modernization, optimization. It seems like that there may be some contracts coming there. Maybe it's stuff already been awarded. How are you going to get this done?
Really, the program to migrate, modernize, and optimize is to look at the organization and the services that we provide and really look at, will a technology insertion, some type of a revisit to what we're doing in that arena help? Is this something that we simply need to update equipment? Maybe we need to update the way we're providing the service, and looking for multiple ways so that, one, we don't necessarily always have to put money on it to solve it. Maybe it's optimizing the network and the performance levels by checking how system calls are done over the network and then trying to reduce those system calls to decrease latency. So it really is just being vigilant in our approach, everything from being vigilant in the approach to really buckling down and saying, okay, we need to do a technology refresh in this particular area.
Nothing like this ever happens, boom, and you're done. You know, it's going to be happening over time. What's the first step to getting this done? Where are you at in that process? And what should people look out for over the next, you know, as you said, 6 or 9 months?
The first steps are identifying the areas that we want to work in. And right now we're looking at some of the network areas within the agency and trying to look at the redundancies or maybe some of the overlapping services in those areas and decide which one of the migrate, modernize, or optimize needs to be applied there. We're also looking at our Pentagon Telecommunication Center and our Data Services Center and looking at the exact same things. You know, which one of these things do we need to do? And I think if you were to ask our user community or our user base, they would tell you that they've already started to see over the last 6 to 9 months benefit coming from the transformation activities that the agency is involved in.
All right. And I imagine that we're going to get a chance to talk about some of the buzzwords around cloud computing, thin clients, Web 2.0. But first, we're going to take a break. And you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Don Adcock, the Executive Director of the Army's Information Technology Agency.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Don Adcock, the Executive Director of the Army's IT Agency. Now, Don, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about specifically the idea of migrating, modernizing, and optimizing some of the services you guys provide from a technology standpoint. I'm just guessing here, because it's you see it everywhere, there's a cloud computing piece, maybe a thin client, maybe even Web 2.0 in there. Can you talk about, a little bit about those and some of the other kind of leading-edge technologies are working their way into the services you provide?
The Information Technology Agency is very much involved in some of these cutting-edge buzzword technologies that are going around. Right now, we're heavily involved in server virtualization and understanding and deploying server virtualized environments around the Pentagon and the agency. We're working some thin client activities as well as Web 2.0. The department just recently relaxed its Web 2.0 policies, and we were right there in the front lines lifting some of those restrictions and helping users begin to integrate them into their workday. So we're definitely involved in implementing them and understanding how they best go forward. And really, we take a three-pronged approach to understanding and considering the technologies here in the agency before it gets into the Pentagon governance community. Really, the first way that we look at them is by just being involved in the DoD community and working through the different meetings and committees that understand and look at these technologies. We also have a second way, which is a really tremendous relationship with our vendor and industry community, working with them to go to their expos and understand their technologies, inviting them in to showcase a technology from time to time like that, so that we can understand if it would be right for the environment. And then third, through basically our staff's research, attending conferences, being parts of communities of interest and things like that. So with those things, really, I guess what I'm most excited about in this particular question is I'm looking to find a single entity within the agency that's sole charter and mission in life will be innovation. So over the next 6 to 12 months, I'll be looking to create an innovation entity here in ITA that helps us understand innovation, how to bring it into the agency, and what do we do with it once we have it here.
Now, currently, a lot of times you see innovation comes from the CTO, a chief technology officer. If you look at some agencies, they have a CIO who works on the strategy, sometimes the day-to-day work, and you have a CTO comes in and says, okay, how can I be innovative? Is that a path you guys are looking at, or are you looking at more of something that would still kind of fall under the CIO's role, but another, as you said, organization to handle it?
Exactly. One of the things that I've started investigating is the agency's need to have a senior technical advisor or senior technical expert or a chief technology officer so that we can understand. You know, we get a lot of calls from industry. We get a lot of calls from other government organizations asking us to pilot something or test something or look at something. And part of our consolidated services is a consolidated engineering and testing environment. So having something like a senior technical expert or chief technology officer in the agency is something that I'm very interested in and understanding how best to utilize that position across the agency.
Okay, don't blame me if you start getting lots of resumes now. I'll just take out of that. Let's talk about some of your challenges. You talked about a lot of the priorities. You talked about, you know, obviously server virtualization, some use of thin client, Web 2.0. What are some of your biggest challenges to getting some of those priorities done?
The next 12 to 18 months for the Information Technology Agency is going to be incredibly busy with the organizational transformation, with carrying the actual mission, and then among other things, ITA is working right now to complete our base realignment and closure activities, keep them in line. As you know, next year is a very big year for base realignment. Realignment and closure in this area. We're preparing to support the Mark Center when it opens later on, I guess mid-next year, early to mid-next year. We're also working very, very closely with the Army CIO and NETCOM 7th Signal Command to establish a single network enterprise center for the Army within the National Capital Region. So I think my biggest challenges to executing my transformation priorities and to stabilizing the services within the agency over the next 6 to 12 months really is sort of making sure that we balance the merit of activities that are going on at the agency so that we can continue to do what we're supposed to do, which is provide superior support to the warfighter and the department.
So you mentioned BRAC, which is a big issue, obviously, in this area. That you have the move from Crystal City, where the Defense Information Systems Agency is, over to Fort Meade, back in Maryland. You also talk about the MARC Center. How do you support that BRAC work?
The Information Technology Agency is very involved with two of the different BRACs, BRAC 132 and BRAC 133. BRAC 132 is the BRAC that takes the Crystal City entities that are Army and some others and moves them to Fort Belvoir. And we are providing the IT services to that entity of BRAC. And then we're also the IT, right now we're working through becoming the IT service provider for the MARC Center. And both of those are BRAC locations, the Fort Belvoir and the 133, which is the MARC Center.
All right, a lot to look at over the next year, year and a half, as you mentioned, so we'll revisit that. Let's talk about vendors. You talked a lot about new strategic plan. You talked about optimization and modernizing, and those are all key words for contracts, potentially. So what should vendors know about working with ITA?
Vendors play a very huge and key role in that. You know, vendors should be very excited right now about working with and the potential to work with the Information Technology Agency. ITA has such a broad range of acquisition opportunities, and we have some of the most brightest and talented acquisition personnel who are dedicated to executing them. Really, we're in the process of looking at how we do procurement across the agency, and we'd have to realign how we do procurement and base it on a services procurement opposed to a organizational procurement. So it's right up in there with our performance of realigning and transforming the organization. Really, I guess if I were a vendor, I'd want to know that on June 15th, we're going to have an industry day. It's at the Hoffman AMC Theater in Alexandria, Virginia, from 9 to 11. And vendors should come out. It'll be advertised on federal business opportunities. They will be able to register for it and then come out. And what they should expect to hear is a little bit about our transformation, our goals, what that means to our contracts, and then they also get a good feeling for what type of contracts will be coming out. We have several contracts coming out later this year, very big contracts, some small contracts, and I think they should remember, too, that the Information Technology Agency doesn't just provide IT services. We have human resources, we have logistics, we have acquisition, so we're looking for a full spectrum of acquisition support from industry.
You want to give us any kind of heads up on those big contracts that are coming out?
We have customer relationship management contract coming out. We have a data center contract that's coming out. We have a few others.
Very interesting. Well, we'll follow up, and we'll have a link on this interview on our website to that FedBizOps notice once it comes out, so we can help you kind of promote that as well. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but before I let you go, I want to talk about your background a little. You are the new director of the Army IT Agency. How long have you been the director? Where else have you worked, both in government, out of government, and what made you decide to make this move over here to the IT Agency?
I was appointed as the executive director of ITA on the 1st of March of this year. So it's been just over 70 some, almost 80 days. So let's see, I have about 22 years of experience in leadership and management across both industry and government. 17 of those years are directly related to information technology. Spent the last 9 years at the Defense Intelligence Agency, working a whole plethora of IT, different IT things from acquisition to engineering, deployment design, application development, information systems security, things like that. So I decided to accept the position of ITA so I could really focus on and pull together all of those 22 years of experience across IT and in different acquisition, things like that, and try to leverage them into the one position and bring all of those things to bear on the one position.
All right. Sounds like you got a lot of work cut out, but seems like you're in a good place for it. Unfortunately, we're out of time, so we're going to have to say thank you very much. And you've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Don Adcock, the Executive Director of the Army Information Technology Agency. Don, thanks so much for joining us.
Jason, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.